RJN, KN4, VWA.
RJN.
Try that one more time.
Volume down, KN4, RJN.
Yeah, baby, did you get that thing up there?
It's outside, and it's going to take some doing that I'm not exactly prepared to do right now. So rather than screw it up for tonight's net, I'll leave it where it's at and work on it tomorrow.
On your existing? Did you change something on your existing?
Bringing your cable in to try and move it into another room, and then that didn't work, so I brought it back to where it was. So I've got your cable in there, which I probably ought to take out and plug it straight back into the radio. Is it a little scratchy?
Oh no, I'm over here on Wade Hampton, and you're sounding pretty solid. Matter of fact, you're sounding a whole lot better.
Well, the only thing there is that extra cable you gave me. Excuse me.
I don't know what you did, but there for the longest time, you would have just kind of a low audio to start off with, and then it would come up. There ain't none of that left in there. It sounds solid.
Most of the cable is laying on the floor, but it's back up where it was. I'm going to try and get it outside tomorrow because I've got to find me some metal. I thought I had tin ceiling I put up in the library. I thought I had some of that left, but apparently I trashed all that a few months ago because I didn't have a need for it, naturally. I'm going to find me something to put up, clamp one of those rafters outside, and then I've got to get it through the window and then seal the window somehow.
Over to Dollar General and pick you up a large, cheap cookie sheet. And make sure it's not aluminum. And that'll work just great.
Might do that, but I got a couple other things I need to do today, so I'll work on that tomorrow.
That list done by the time she gets home Sunday. Wait a minute, she's not coming home to Monday, is she?
But, you know, I've got time, and I've got some other things I got to do before she gets home.
You better get that list done. Whew. I don't want to have to come visit you in the hospital.
I think it'll come to that, but I appreciate your concern.
Hey, you know I'm just teasing you. Matter of fact, I've picked up my door gasket for my wood stove, and I'm headed back home, and I'm gonna put that puppy together. Get that done, and then I'm putting a new fan in the back of it. So I ought to have this thing pretty much reconditioned by the time I get done with it. It'll be good for another 20, 30 years. Well, it'll be good for longer than I'll be around, put it that way.
Well, you knock yourself out with that, and let me know when you get her up and running.
This is one of those just-in-case measures, just-in-case they're right in the almanac, like you said, that we're supposed to get a lot of snow and a lot of cold, cold weather this winter.
Well, probably not a bad idea. It's one of the joys of having a gas fireplace is if the heat goes out, electricity goes out, I can still cook and stay warm.
Yep, you sure can. You sure can. What have you got, a tank?
Off the screen in.
How big is your tank?
It's me, and I can't quite get my arms around it.
Probably a 200 gallon, maybe a 250. Yep, that ought to keep you going for a while.
Been out to fill it up here in a while, and I don't know. We've been cooking on it, you know, quite a bit, so it's lasted quite a while, and I think they're still in there.
Going gas.
Range top is gas. The oven's electric, but the range top is gas.
Man, that is nice. I tell you what, When I was growing up, we used to have natural gas, and we would cook on the top of the stove with gas, and man, that was, it's so much easier to regulate the heat that way with an oil than other than with an old electric heater or electric range top. Cooking with gas is just so much better.
I don't know if the regulator's up high or if it's just the stove, but on the lowest setting on three of the burners, I can still boil water. So it's like it's just a wee bit too warm for a lot of things. You got to keep an eye on it. But yeah, it's handy.
When I lived in Greer, at a Greer Country Club, we had natural gas out there too, and our heat was natural gas. And man, I tell you what, I miss that kind of heat. Good warm heat. Not like a heat pump.
Don't do too bad around here anyway, but like I said, if the electricity goes out, I've got the fireplace, and that'll heat up just about the whole house.
See, go ahead and tell you for DJZ.
Hey, you guys doing today? Who's talking about a fireplace right now? Congratulations, live. It's toasty outside.
Built the house 3 years ago, and we've already changed the living room around and added 250 square feet to the living room, and I finally got a good place to put my wood stove, and the place is 2,500 square feet, and I always loved heating with that wood stove. That's good, warm, dry heat. Just felt good to the bones. So this coming year, I'm ready to heat with that wood heat. I just love it.
Was that John on the other end over there, Steve?
John, Big John, Big Bad John. Yep.
JC Friday, didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry, I was talking about a stove, 2,500 square feet. That's bigger than my house is. but I made a mistake of getting a heat pump downstairs about, it's been close to, gosh, I guess 15 years ago now. I'll never do that again. The upstairs is okay, but downstairs, it's just not warm enough for an old folk.
Mistaken, John's place is three stories, including his basement. Is that right, John?
Basement, there's a whole lot of house here that I don't necessarily need, but I've got it, so what can I say?
Make sure I got it. So, talking to a guy here in town about a dual fuel unit. But by the time I added up the cost of adding the gas back, because I had gas originally, adding the gas back and doing the dual fuel switchover with the heat pump above a certain temperature, which is, you know, heat pumps are very efficient, you know, electricity pretty cheap, but you know, since I got natural gas, I'll probably just switch back over to just natural gas and regular air conditioning when this one gives up the gas. But I paid an arm and a leg for it as it was, but natural gas is going through the stratosphere when I had it changed over to heat pump, and I thought I was doing the right thing, but man, I freeze to death in the wintertime.
True BTU cost? There ain't nothing that beats gas.
I got gas upstairs. They just put a replace a 25-year-old unit upstairs with another, a little bit higher grade air conditioning unit, higher grade, more efficient gas heat, you know, gas, natural gas heater upstairs. It just stays warm up here easily. And the gas bill's not about 15 or 20 bucks a month, even during the winter time. But downstairs, it's just too much for, if it gets down below 30 degrees, it really gets cold. Of course, you know, with a heat pump, it blows about 68, 70 degrees degrees unless you turn on those heat strips, and then it really, you can watch that meter spin around when it does that. So it was so expensive, I'd go ahead and do it right now, but I had too many other things that had spent money on the last year or so. But when it goes, I'm replacing it with just a better grade, higher grade builder's type unit with just gas heat and regular air conditioning.
See, we just don't have natural gas available out there where we are. Well, I don't believe you've got it available to you either, do you, John?
Aware of, but yeah, we're kind of on the borderline of climate-wise where a heat pump will keep you warm enough in the winter. You go much further north, and there's just not enough heat out there to do it.
But no heat pump is really truly efficient. Anything below about 40 degrees.
Water and gas, I mean, that thing just, it'll heat up water, you know, very quickly. It's efficient. I got a high efficiency tank as well. But I haven't considered going with this tankless water heater, but my house is really not big enough to require a second heater. And since I've got upstairs and downstairs, I got two separate units anyway, so I'm in pretty, it's just too vast too, so it's a pretty good, I mean, we're in pretty good shape. We spend most time downstairs anyway, that's where the master bedroom is.
Y'all doubled over each other. What was you saying right there at the first, John?
For Jan, we're about on the as far north as you can get, and a heat pump actually do anything for you in the wintertime, or do what it needs to do in the wintertime, I should say.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. And that's why his basement doesn't really get good warm either. Oh, me, I tell you what, since we don't have natural gas out there, you've got about the only alternative you can do, John. Who have you got your gas through?
I'm sorry, say again.
Who do you get your natural gas through?
I can't think of the name offhand. They're semi-local here. I'll think of it shortly. But it's placed here just outside Inman, I believe.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I used to get, down at my little house, used to get propane through them, and we got a tank down there. And we used to get that through Freeman, but they started playing some stupid games.
Freeman sounds familiar, but I wouldn't swear that's where we get it. I'd have to look at the bill and see.
You go into Greer, don't go down 357.
I got Fort Hill Natural.
There. If you go into Greer, don't go down 357.
Tell me why.
Right out here on New Cut Road, they ground it all up, put in that concrete mix in the dirt, and then put down the gravel and the glue, and then finally paved over it. Well, that's what they're doing on 357 down near Wade Hampton.
Plan on going that way anytime soon anyway, but I'll definitely avoid it.
Traffic mess. So you do have that cable in there, John?
It's just most of it's lying on the floor, but yeah, it's connected.
Well, that's good. At least we know it's working well, because you haven't been light on your audio on the key up at all. It's working great. All right, well, good enough. I see something I got to handle here in the car real quick. Y'all carry on while I take care of this real quick.
Propane now, or you got using wood?
Fireplace and gas stove. The actual heat in the house is the heat pump, but but yeah, I got a big tank out back that they haven't been around to fill that up here lately, and so I guess it holds quite a bit.
Couple of places. Actually, within a half mile of the house here, I noticed a couple of people put big propane tanks out on the side yard. So I thought they had natural gas that ran all the way down through there, but it may not hit exactly where these there's about three or four houses, just like I said, maybe less than 300 yards from me on another road that evidently don't have a natural gas line run, but. But anyway, I used fuel oil for years back in the 70s, and that was like having a mortgage almost.
Growing up, we had fuel oil, had a basement in the house, and the tank was down there, and they'd come out periodically and fill that up, and invariably overfill it, and there'd be oil on the outside of the tank and on the basement floor. But I have no idea what Dad paid for that, but that was many, many years ago. I've got natural gas lines, I guess, are okay, but if they're not maintained, you get some unpleasant incidents with those things from time to time.
Check hours once a year. I got four deal. They've been real good about me. Of course, the house is 25 years old, but they were real good about it. Mine, I know exactly where my line is, and you know, you can always tell if you got a leak in it because it kills the grass. And the guy that laid the line was—he's not working anything anymore, but he was a really solid guy. He knew exactly what he was doing. Everything is silver soldered together, and the same guy. I got him come out of retirement to replace my water heater some years ago. And he had some type of certification to do. You can't just let anybody do any work on the gas line.
Well, it's been several years ago, but I remember, I think it was in Baltimore someplace, natural gas line that had been there for, I don't know, since the Civil War, I guess, I don't know, sprung a leak and exploded and took out a good portion of a city block. So, yeah, you gotta be careful with those things.
After World War II, he was he'd been a captain, and after World War II, he was captain of USS Stewart for a while. And then when he retired from the Navy, he got involved in liquid propane ships going back and forth to the Far East. And he always told me, every time you take your life in your hands, every time you get on board one of those, he said, because one of those boys goes up, he said, it's not pleasant.
That stuff can do some damage, I tell you. But as long as the lines are maintained and people are watching out for it, it's not bad. But you let that thing deteriorate over a number of years, and you're gonna wish you hadn't.
Yeah, where they've had it in for 50 or 100 years or something, it is not. Not the best thing, but I think the Public Service Commission makes them relay lines now. And they don't have to be quite as deep as they used to be, especially here. But natural gas, everywhere. I lived in Rock Hill, there was a huge underground cavern up in the Rock Hill area around Newport, South Carolina, where they store natural gas up there. It's just a tremendous thing is they store it underground. It's just some type of natural occurrence, where they store it there. But it's it's one of those things where you never know it's there unless you knew exactly where to look.
Yeah, well, I forget. I think it was in Baltimore where that occurred. It was one of the northern cities up there that. Gas line sprung a leak and exploded, and it took out the good portion of a city block. So yeah, I can imagine being on a ship full of that stuff.
They were cautious. You don't have. They would only let master, whatever they call them, master captains, sail those ships. And they had crews that they wouldn't let any crew get on board. They had to be experienced crews, and he did that for a number of years, I guess. And He did on into his 60s, I think, that he decided to quit doing it. But he would go, he would leave me gone for a couple, 3 months and come back. And but he was a, he had all kinds of stories to tell. But yeah, I think they had, they've had a couple of these, you know, houses blow to smithereens recently, just in, you know, just in the last 6 months or so, I guess. And so far it's been in the Northeast, but that doesn't mean it can't happen anywhere.
Good, and it don't take much of a spark to get that stuff going either.
My wife was a child. They had one of the, they built a new house, and it actually burned within a year of when they finished building it. They thought it was some transformer problem. They lived out in the country, and when you lose a house to fire like that, it just stigmatizes. She would, no way she'd have, she got natural, you know, she didn't mind having natural gas for the heat or for the water heater, but she didn't want a natural gas stove or dryer or anything like that.
Blow up like that, that would definitely put you off of it.
It's electrical, they didn't have gas, it was just electrical deal, and they think this transformer did something. And what it's, you know, it was a fairly, it was a new house, and this is back in, had to be back in the early 50s, I guess, maybe 53, or maybe 55, 56, but it just burned to the ground. And but they didn't have gas, but it was some type of electrical issue. And they didn't find exactly what it was, but they think maybe the transformer might have shunted. Something might have added to the transformer, and it didn't shunt like it was supposed to, and fed too much power into it, but it burned. I mean, it literally burned to the ground. Of course, they had volunteer fire departments back then, but they couldn't get, they're not like they are now, they couldn't get to it anywhere close to enough time to save the house.
Well, I can imagine that was a bit traumatic. Never seen a house burn down like that before, but I watched firefighters in our little burg where I grew up north, that they'd use old houses as training exercises, and they'd go out there and set them on fire and then try to save them. And there was one that was just a tinder box. I mean, that house might as well have been soaked in gasoline. I don't know what it was made out of, but in minutes. Yeah, and they were standing there ready to go, and they still couldn't stop.
When I was a kid, I lived in Hartwell, just across the river up here, and the county courthouse was, had been built many years ago, but it had a dome on it, and it all looked like it might have been concrete or something like that. It was actually a wood superstructure on top, covered in tin, and we'd been up in there years before and taken a look at it. And one night, I lived two blocks from downtown. One night, the sky just lit up and couldn't figure out what was going on. I was probably about 13 or 14, I guess, maybe. And I went outside, and I meant something's on fire. So I walked up there, and the courthouse was on fire. It burned, absolutely burned to the ground. They could not, no way they could stop it. I mean, it burned to nothing. They didn't try, they'd been there for years, but they didn't try to rebuild it. But now they've rebuilt just small single-level buildings now, but that was really interesting. There's, you know, we had to help the firefighters. You know, they didn't have the same kind of equipment they have now. They had to sit on the hoses. I remember several of us kids sitting on the hoses to keep them where they're supposed to be so the pressure wouldn't push them around, but nobody even went close to inside that place.
That's kind of what happened to Notre Dame. Somebody working on a thing up there and caught that wood superstructure on fire, and you saw what happened to that.
Of course, this was so many years ago, nobody thought about sprinkler systems. Other than some, I don't remember them having one, but this is back in the probably 64 maybe or something like that. It had just a small fire department, and you know, just mostly had a couple full-time guys, a lot of them were volunteers, and it was just, they were just, there's no way they could have said, no, I don't think anybody could have saved you anyway, because by the time he got up that superstructure, that was all she wrote then.
Father-in-law was one of the few firemen in our little town, and basically all he did was drive the truck. All the volunteer firefighters would man the hoses and do all that stuff. He just drove the truck, and he was and be on duty in the firehouse there, wash the truck and drive it over there, and then they took over from there. But he had some interesting stories too.
So we had when I worked at Springs in Fort Mill, we had several guys there were volunteer firefighters, and they were. They'd get that tone out, and they'd be gone. Supervisors and all, they'd just leave and head off down there. They didn't really have, they didn't have a full-time fire department back then when I was working. That's been 40 years ago. They didn't have they had maybe a few full-time guys, but not many. But they were all, these were all mill guys, and they knew how to handle fires, and since there's something breaking out inside the plant all the time anyway. But one of the big plants up there, the old Fort Mill plant, when it caught on fire back in the late, I guess it's the late 80s, it probably was close to 100 years, and you know, all those old soap floors and big heavy beams, and it was basically empty. They moved all the equipment out of it, but for the most part it was, but it was absolutely something to behold. They had, you could see that thing from 40, 50 miles away, and they just, you know, that's about all they could do, just keep it from spreading.
The old factories where the wood is, you know, 100 years old and soaked with machine oil and God knows what else, and yeah, those things go up pretty quick.
Listen, I better run. I want to say hello to you guys, and hope you have a good weekend if I don't hear from you tonight on the net. But good talk to you, John. M4DJC, clear.
Hey. Go ahead, Steve.
I was just listening to y'all, and I tell you what, one of the most sickening feelings you can ever have is trying to fight a fire knowing there's somebody in there. And I helped with a Lyman Lowenstein plant fire back in about, I think that was about 77. And man, let me tell you what, their warehouse full of baled cotton that was staged for manufacturing caught fire. And they had a manager that was in there that got caught in the racks. He tried to hide in the racks of the bales, and that fire went on for like 2 or 3 days. And man, we did everything we could to get that thing slowed down, but it still killed him. And I was one of the crew that could climb and rappel, because I was also part of Greenville County Jeep Search and Rescue at the time. And I'll tell you what, that's just a sickening feeling when you lose that fight.
I can imagine. But anyway, I'm going to need to back on out of here, Steve. I got to take the dog out and do a couple things here and whatnot. So I'm on back on out of here, 73's to you. You have a good day, and we'll talk at you later. KN4RJN, I am clear.
And you do have the net tonight, right, John? All right, I'll try to make sure I hit the net tonight with you. KN4RJN, have a good afternoon, and I'm headed back to the house to play on my wood stove. KN4VWA, clear.
KN4VWA, W2T. Hello there, Steve.
Yeah. How you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm doing, as they say. A little on the slow side, but, you know, and that's what happens when you get older, you slow down.
Not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Honey. Any of it singing?
Hey, I'll just tell you what my daddy used to tell me. Boy, if you're singing that in parts, you can leave my part out.
Well.
There, Bill. You heard what I just said about that, didn't you?
What'd you do with that money?
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, it's just, that's why I don't sing but once every blue moon. So, hey, listen, both of you, three people now, I've run into the third person that has told me, and, you know, they've got to be just as good a weather prognosticators as whatever's on TV, that the Farmer's Almanac has told everybody that we're going to have a very cold and a very snowy winter. What have y'all heard anything like that? Well, there you go. So, anyhow, I've had three people tell me that, and I think they said they got it out of the Farmer's Almanac.
Have I doubled with you?
Yeah, I was on a couple of the news sites, I think.
Well, now, they're talking about snow this weekend for out in the very Midwest. They say there's a good chance of it this weekend in the Midwest out there because the jet stream is dipping way down.
This weekend, I think we're only supposed to be in the 80s.
Feeling stunned. I've done all the sweating I want to do for the summer. Come on, fall. I love the cold weather. Of course, I don't like it down below zero or down below freezing, but that's a whole different story, isn't it? I'm going back to the house to put the gaskets on the doors of my wood stove that I've just installed in the house, and I'm hoping I'm going to stay nice and toasty this winter. Keep the power bill down.
See if I got it. Yeah, I just wish I've got a fireplace in this house, but it's not really very efficient. And probably would be nicer if I had it remodeled and a wood stove put in. But I guess we'll just see what happens and everything. I'm not rich like you, so I can't afford to buy all this stuff to install.
Done it. It's probably going to pay for itself in about 4 months. If I can cut my power bill down like I think I'm going to with this thing, you know, judging by past history, I'll pay for all that I did in there in about 4 months.
Are you having to pay for it, or you got it there on the property? Yeah, then you might be able to do that in 4 months then, if you don't got to buy the wood part.
Yep. As a matter of fact, a buddy of mine's going to give me a little over a full cord of cut hickory already split. He hadn't used his in about 3 or 4 seasons. I'm going to go over and pick up all that hickory he's got, so that'll extend out my payback very quickly.
I wouldn't do that, but you got to see, to do the installs and everything first, you got to have the money to do it with in the beginning before you can go back and save it and earn it back later. You know, that's one of the things you have to have, Steve. Anyway, just heard you in there and wanted to say hello. I got to get... Dog is not going to be happy with me because she's going to get a bath here in a few minutes.
Hey, Rusty. I heard a station in there on the South Carolina net relaying you in the other night. What was going on there?
That may have been the night I had... Oh, that put me relayed me in at the beginning of the net?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the night I had to be three places at once, and I was trying to figure out how to at least make two of them, and all, because I had a Zoom meeting that I had to attend, so I wasn't able to be there to check into the net, and the Zoom meeting lasted 2.5 hours.
You weren't having no problems with your system, then?
No, it was just I wasn't. Wasn't going to be able to have time to be here. It was just, that was the case of it. So, you know, I had someone check me in early so I could get, because I had the Zoom meeting and the net started at the same time, basically.
And I've got to get over there and get on that 3950. Hey, Bill, what time do you say that is? From what time to 5?
On there anywhere from 4 o'clock in the afternoon on. They do clear the frequency of 7:30, though, for the North Florida net for the guys down there in Florida. It's just a bunch of guys in South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina.
All right, yeah, I meant to try to make that the other night, and then all of a sudden time got away from me with this wedding, and September 19th, I'll be out of my misery.
Nah, it's just a bunch of good bunch of guys on there.
All right, well, listen, I got to check the mail. I'm going to jump out of the vehicle for just about a minute and a half. I'll be right back.
Get back.
Don't make him too hard, because he'll have trouble answering them. And also, you know how that is.
Don't think we haven't met. I'm Bill, N4WRO. I'm over here just south of East Lea, right at the Pickens-Anderson County line.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've been around at least a year or two or so over here. I'm on about my fourth call sign since I got into radio 35 years, 30, let's see, it's been 30 years ago now, so it's getting, having been here a while, and so, but I got a two call because I wanted a nice CW call, and that was a real good CW call because there were none available in the fourth area right then.
Yeah, I got my license probably 25 years ago, and then I was living down in Sumter, retired from the Air Force down there, and I had a lightning strike take everything out, and I never did replace it, so I had about a 20-year layoff, and I got back into it about a year ago, got the HF rig up and running, and got these little HTs running and everything, and retired and just enjoying it.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. I do a lot of radio. That's about what I do a lot of. I was doing some photography for a while, and I still do some occasionally. And, you know, I still have the capability and the cameras and everything and all. But I do a lot of nets. I do nets here, and I do, you know, I check in 2-meter net here as often as I can. And I call it every other Thursday because that was the net control. And I call the South Carolina single sideband net every other Thursday. And so I do that, and but I'm on some I belong to a group club that does a lot of work, All States and DX Awards Net, so we do a lot of those. We got them on 20 and 40 and 75, and when the weather's right in the wintertime, we do it on 162, so we cover a lot of bands and people get there. In fact, that's where I was able to get my work, my WAS. I work my WAS on, have it all on 75 for all 50 states. Go do that now.
I don't think so. Yeah, I was looking at mine the other day. I got the WAS mixed, and I got WAS FT8, and I think I'm missing one state for... Well, no, I've got it for phone, too, but I'm missing one state for all on 20 meters.
AN4VWA, what you want to ask me, Bill?
Man, when you set up your crossband repeat, did you put your ID in there to where it would ID on your UHF free?
Okay, when I hit crossband on my FT8900R, Yaesu, see, all the call sign is programmed into the main section, so I don't have to program it into anything else. It doesn't matter what I'm, in other words, if I'm set up on crossband, it's going to broadcast that call sign, that ID, and if I'm on single or simplex, it's going to broadcast it, period.
Okay. All right, well, there was some question as to this Kenwood. You know, you can set it up that way where it'll broadcast your call sign every 10 minutes. But there was a bunch of questions whether it just broadcasts it on the UHF side that you're talking back and forth on like we are now, or if it broadcasts it on a repeater also.
later. I gotta go. W2T.
Try to behave today, Rusty. 73s. I'll talk to you later. You know, I don't know anything about the Kenwood. But if it's on this 8900, if it's broadcasting, it's putting the ID out there.
It's not sending it to the 2-meter repeater also, though, right?
If the signal's coming in and it's broadcasting back on, the way I set mine up is 2-meter and 440. And it cross bands between the two bands, okay? And if it's receiving and broadcasting back out to my handheld, it's broadcasting the ID. If I'm broadcasting from my HT out through the radio, then it's broadcasting the Yaesu ID there.
We're both confused. Like right now, I've got the, in fact, we're talking on a crossband right now. I'm sitting out here in the backyard on an HT, and it's hitting the Kenwood in the shack on 440, on the 440 side, and then going back out into the 2-meter repeater.
Right. Now, if I'm doing the exact same thing, it's broadcasting my 8900 ID. Now, if I'm receiving and it's broadcasting back out through the 440, it's broadcasting my ID. So in other words, if the radio is transmitting, it's sending my ID.
What ID are you talking about? Are you talking about your call sign?
Yeah, it's programmed into the radio.
He's not sending it in a Morse code transmission across the 2-meter repeater.
But the 2-meter repeater can see it.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's fine. But what they're saying on the Kenwood, you can take and turn on your transmit ID in Morse and put your call sign in there, and it will transmit on the 440 side every 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, I don't know anything about that. I really don't know anything about a Kenwood. What I know about a Kenwood, you can put in a thimble. Here to the house, and we'll go put some stove gasket on, bud. I'm going to run on in, and I'm going to do my thing with my wood stove so I can stay toasty this winter. So, I'm going to jump on out of here. 73s, KN4VWA, I'll be clear after you final there, big guy.
I'm curious about that crossband stuff the other day, so I got to checking into it and fooling with it, and I said, you know, this will work great when I got the HD out in the shop with me. So, yeah, it's up and running good, so, all right, buddy. Be careful out there putting all that stuff together. Don't get cut up.
Just one quick question. Is that Kenwood, is that a base unit, or is that a mobile?
It's that V71A? It'll do Echolink and all that other stuff, too. I love the radio. It's a good little radio.
I had one. That is a very good radio. Now, let me caution you about something. When you transmit back out to the HT, you don't have to have a lot of power. And with everything that's inputting and outputting, you can overheat that radio. You can overheat any radio on crossband real quick. So you can overrun the capacity of the cooling fans. So when you set one up, make sure you transmit out to the repeater on normal power, but when you transmit back to your HT, just use the nominal amount of power that you got to have.
I try to set the low power because I can hit the 2-meter repeater with no problems with low power. I mean, it's in at full quieting. So, yeah, I understand.
Fantastic. And then I had one of those VM71s, and I traded it off to a boy for an 857D. Yaesu 857D, all band, all mode, and I've got that in my truck. Man, let me tell you what, I have talked to Italy, Croatia, Slovenia, Northern Ireland, Brazil, Arizona, all from my truck.
Carl. Yeah, what you got, a screwdriver antenna on there?
KN4BWA. I have got the matching antenna for that thing. It's called a ATAS-120 automatic screwdriver antenna. All I've got to do is hit a button on the radio, and it will auto-tune the screwdriver to the band.
Those are sweet. A buddy of mine had one, something set up like that, and he used to talk all over the place on that thing. He had a paddle. He would be doing Morse code driving down the highway at 65, 70 mile an hour. He had a paddle strapped to his leg.
Well, I guess I'm just not as good a driver then. I'm not going to be doing all that. Matter of fact, I'm not going to be spinning that button either while I'm driving down the road. But I tell you what I am going to do. You know, I've got it programmed for all my local stuff just at a push of a button for all the local repeaters. And then if I want to do HF like I'm planning on taking this thing up to Mount Mitchell here during the fall. And I'm going to get up on Mount Mitchell and just see what I can hit up there. Because I think that'd be fun.
That sounds like some fun, get up there. See how far I can go.
Since I've got it in a diesel pickup truck, that means I got dual batteries. So I could go ahead and hook me up a 20,000 watt megawatt inverter and get me a 1,500 watt amp and get me an extension, a 50-foot extension pole, and run me a dipole up that extension pole all up on Mount Mitchell. I'll set me up ready. I better hush before I get out of control.
Sorry, it didn't happen.
Well, no, I'm not going to say that. Pictures and recordings don't do nothing but get you in trouble.
Would you see a lot, you would, Stove. I'll talk to you later. And 4WRO, we'll be clear after your final.
The other way, without pictures or recordings, means that I can say, I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. Nobody could prove a thing. KN4BWA, clear.